Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
Filtering the media. And I am just here to tell you that if you don't filter what you bring in today's world, you're going to fill yourself full of the wrong thing. If you're not filtered, you're going to be in trouble. 2 Timothy chapter 3, y'all turn there with me. 2 Timothy chapter 3, a verse that really defines what I want to just set up as the model of what we're talking about this evening. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 says, "All scripture is inspired by God. It's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right." All scripture does several things here. All scripture does several things. I want you to understand, every scripture in the Bible is here for a significant reason and purpose, and that is for this. Here's what it's here for. It's to teach us what is true. It's to for us to realize, help us to realize what is wrong. It corrects us when wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right, and it prepares us and equips us to do every good work. Let's just take the word "all scripture" out for a second and think about the United States of America. Because right now we are dealing with primaries and caucuses all across this great land. And here's what I would love for our government to stand on. These thoughts, just these thoughts. And I think everybody would, I pray they could teach Americans what is true. Really, I want to know what's true. I'm tired of all the junk and the lies going on in our government. I want to know what's true. And I'd really like for them to help some of us to realize what's wrong. Because we're asking, well, what's wrong? What's wrong? We've all got our ideas of what's wrong, and I'd like for them to help us realize what's wrong. I would also like them to be able to correct us when we're wrong. I mean, we have police force. We have a lot of different things going on in our country. So wouldn't that be great if they could just correct what's wrong? When they're wrong enough to be in jail, they need to be in jail, whoever it is. See, I would love for them to teach us to do what is right on a daily basis. I would love for them to prepare and equip our people here in America to do every good work. Here's the problem. If you take all scripture out, then none of that happens. But if you'll put scripture in and you live life by its mandates, then all of a sudden, all scripture will do those things. Now, obviously, it's the job of the church to teach people and to grow them up and disciple them. So then when we have leaders come up to lead our great country, then they operate under that same principle, and they know what's true. They know what's wrong. They can correct themselves when they are wrong. They're taught to do what is right, and they're equipped and empowered to do every good work. Now, what I want you to understand is without scripture, we don't know what's true. We don't know what's wrong. We don't know how to do what's right, and we're not prepared and we're not equipped. In anything in life, without scripture, we're in trouble. Here's where we're at. We're in a media-ran world. And I'm talking about just 10 years ago, we weren't near where we are today. You go back 15 to 20 years before cell phones, and I'm just saying the media wasn't near what it is today. We're in a media-ran world. If you were to ask anybody over the age of 50, and just for all you young people to know who that is, because I know young people have a hard time telling how old you are. They do. You just ask a 10-year-old how old you are. It's not sometimes not fun. But you ask a young person how, and they're just 104? No, I'm not 104. I don't even look 104. Well, they do, you do to them. So everybody 50 years of age or older, be proud about it. Come on. Who's here 50 years of age or older? All right, look around. Everybody here looking at the 50 years and older, they remember a day when there was no cell phones. Come on. Everybody here 50 years and up, remember that day. Probably some of you 40 and under can remember a little bit of that, but I just thought I'd push the 50 up. My wife didn't have to raise her hand either. It made my night a lot better. Those that are older, here's what they have went from. They went from hearing media or hearing about what was going on in our world once a week to now every second of every day. See, they wasn't that hard to filter it 50 years ago. Now, I'm just telling you, it wasn't that hard because you only had it coming in your house once a week. Newspaper, that was it. And I remember when I was a kid, the only time we heard the media from a national perspective was on the news once a night. When I was a kid, that's all we heard, once a night. So it was once a night. It was more than it was 50 years ago. But and when I was a kid, it was once a night, and it was 30 minutes. And you had all the local and national news that you could get in 30 minutes. So it was still only 30 minutes. But now on my phone, I have a Fox News app. I have a 2016 elections app. I can tell every second of every day what's happening. And it's just there all the time. You can even get notifications. That thing will ding and, oh, something new's happening in the news. And every few minutes you can be shaped by what's going on. See, what we think about it and when we think about it, it's shaped by what we're told and it's shaped by how often we're told. Things are shaped by what the information is, and then it's shaped by how often you hear it. And we are now hearing it at the most fast rate we have ever heard information. Let me just talk about media. What does media mean? Media is the main means of mass communication, especially through the sources of TV, radio, newspapers, and internet. That's what media is. It's the means of mass communication. So to as many people as we can get to at once. Well, would the internet be a good source for that? Yeah, it'd be a great source for mass communication. If we're wanting to use those means, internet's probably one of the best ways you could do it. The problem is not everybody accesses it all the time. So what about radio? Yeah, radio would be a good thing because a lot of people listen to radio. What about TV? Yep, TV would be a great thing. What about, what other sources could we have? See, as we keep thinking about this, we've got all these sources that are coming in through media. What about just going out on top of a hillside with a megaphone speaker and just start talking? I want everybody to know, would that be considered mass media? No, but there was a day and time that's the way everybody was communicating big things as they go on a hill and a lot of people come around and they're going to deliver. They had town criers. They had different people in towns that would give the information. See, the way media is now distributed is so fast and so quick. And here's the thing. If it doesn't entertain us, if it doesn't shock us, if it don't scare you, if it don't make you desire to get more of it, then something else will fill that spot. Something else will fill that spot. See, they're all used with an effort to get you to come back. They want you to come back to it. They're intended to hit as big as an audience as they can reach. Now, understand, media is not always news. Sometimes it's movies. Sometimes it's music. I mean, you can put media in any of those because it's just meant to get out there. Here's what you got to know about media. There's always a message behind the content. The content, I can say, always has a message. It always does. It's always going to give you something. And what we've got to do is we've got to be able to recognize, is this what I want or is it not? See, they're not concerned with communicating information as much as they are concerned about building and securing an audience. They're not as, hear what I'm saying. They're not as concerned about what's being communicated. They're being concerned about building and keeping an audience. That's of their primary concern. Newscasts. They're not given just to report the news. They're strategically written to further a worldview. That's what they're done. As the story is presented, a worldview is presented, and they're going to entertain you in the process so that you'll believe what's being said. Now, the Bible, unchanging truth, shows us when we're wrong. It has to be used. Come on, church, hear this. The Bible has to be used when you see media, you hear media, you're entertained by it, whatever, to measure the accuracy of what you're hearing with Scripture. So if we're going to filter the media, what is our filter? It's got to be the Word of God. Here's the problem. Every second of every day, we have media coming in. We use it with our teaching. We use it with every source we can. We use it in church. We use it everywhere we are. We try to use media to reach as many people as possible. We right now as a church here in Hot Springs are reaching thousands of people through our podcasts. All over this great country, thousands of people are listening weekly, if not daily, to a podcast. Now, I sit there and I think about that and I go, that's amazing. Do you realize when we don't put a podcast up that my phone starts ringing and I got people asking, where's it at? Where's it at? Where's it at? And so I'm calling Ashlyn. I'm calling BJ. BJ, we got to get this. Where's the podcast? Well, we're having problems with internet. Well, that's got to be the top of our priority this week. We got to get this internet going because I'm tired of hearing people talk about this podcast. Plus, they got to hear the Word of God. And so we're trying to get that out there everything we can. See, media, we're trying to do that. But here's the problem. We're not touching the second by second with the Bible as compared to the news and the entertainment. The news and the entertainment are winning the amount of time that we're focused. See, 50 years ago, it was once a week. 30 years ago, it was once a night for 30 minutes. Now it's every second of every day that we have media coming into our lives. And so used to the Bible could overlap and overpower the media that's coming in. But no more is that the case. The media is outdoing the Bible. You see where there's a problem here. I mean, this chapter, just as I was reading this in this book, all this just kind of exploded on me. When a media source supports a new normal in life, that's not the way it was, but now media supports homosexuality. Media supports the definition of marriage. Media supports the choice of religion. Media supports that not everybody goes to the same place when they die. Some people are reincarnated. Some people are this. And I mean, it's not, they just don't understand. And I agree, not everybody goes to the same place, but they go one or two. But not, they don't agree with that. Media don't say that. See, the things you watch on TV, that's not what they teach. That's not what comes through. Horoscopes have been printed for several years in the newspaper. What in the world is a horoscope in the newspaper for? So, because people are reading it. See, they're not going to do it if it's not attracting an audience. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, every second of every day, there's stuff coming in. People are looking at it. Every thought must be filtered through the Bible to conclude whether it is right or wrong if we're going to take 2 Timothy at its word. See, with information streaming to us every second, it's just impossible to take a word when it comes in or a thought, homosexuality, whatever, when it comes in. Let me get my concordance out. See, I'm just amazed at the information. I was at the License Bureau. You ever go to the License? Everybody goes to the License Bureau. And you go sit in there at the one in Nixon. Anybody been to the Nixon License Bureau? Do you realize they have a screen up there that the state of Missouri is shooting media through and you're reading while you're sitting there? Well, that's great. You got 30 minutes to do nothing, so you might as well sit, sometimes an hour and 30 minutes, and you're just sitting there, so you might as well watch the screen. Well, they're teaching you everything that they're getting ready to tell you that you don't have if you'll read the screen. I'm serious. It tells you everything you need. And I just wish they put go home if you don't have it. That's what. But there's media coming in everywhere. And here's the thing. If you don't know Scripture before you're presented with media, then you don't filter correctly. If you don't, let me say that again because you need it. Young people, if you don't know Scripture, then when media comes in, your filter's messed up or clogged. See, it's not going to do anything. If you don't know Scripture, you're clogged because you're not going to get your Bible and run through your concordance. Let me see what I need to think about that. It happens too quick. It's every second. When it was just 30 minutes a night after the newscast, you get your Bible out the next morning, you could say, well, what's the Bible say about that? I'm going to go to church Sunday. I'm going to hear what the pastor has to say about this national news deal. And so I'm going to find out a little more about it. But now media is so quick that it overruns our knowledge of Scripture. The problem today is people don't know Scripture, but they know media. Our young people can memorize words to songs. In a way, I'm just blown away. All the songs that they know the words to. How do you know all these songs? And they just sing them and they come right off their like nothing and they know all of these songs and they're not even hearing what they're saying. I wish they knew near this. Just half the scripture is the words of songs they know. But what happens is that's what's being filtered into them continually and they're not filtering it against the word of God. So we can just sing any song we want. No, it doesn't matter what song we sing. We can watch any movie we want. Why? Because we're not filtering the movie with the Word of God. Well, why aren't we doing that? Because we don't know Scripture. I'm not mad at him, but I'm just saying we don't know Scripture anymore. You got to know when the report or the view that is being pushed on TV, in a song, on a radio, you got to know when you're singing it, when you're listening to it, when you're quoting a phrase from a movie. Did you filter that with the Word of God? Because here's what I'm telling you. When you start doing it and doing it, doing it, there are other people that have got knowledge of Scripture, and they're going to filter it before they let it into them. And so it'd be a wise thing for you to do that before someone has to come and say, would you quit saying that? Would you quit doing that? Would you? Here's what I don't really like that. See, but we're not full of Scripture, so we can't filter correctly. There's new normals that are being pushed all across this great country, and it's coming in through the avenue of media. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. I want to look at some of just what we just mentioned, homosexuality. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. When you hear homosexuality being pushed, or you hear the definition of marriage saying that two men could get married, you need to know Genesis 1:27. God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and he created them. Male and female, he created them. That's what he created them. Male and female. Is there any question? No, he created both. Male and female. And nobody really disagrees with that, but you have to know that and then turn to Genesis 19. 19, verse 5. They shouted to Lot, where are the men who came to spend the night with you? Bring them out to us so we can have sex with them. What? Where are the, this is men shouting to Lot, where are the men who came to spend the night with you? Bring them out to us so we can have, wait, he created them male and female for that reason, not male and male, but right here, that's what they're doing. Oh, so the Bible okays that. See, they told Lot and, bring them out to you. He says in verse 8, look, I have two virgin daughters. Let me bring them out to you and you can do with them as you wish, but please leave these men alone. Well, what's he thinking? He's still messed up here. Bring my brothers, he begged. Don't do such a wicked thing. Verse 7. Oh, my brothers, hold on. My brothers, don't, let's not do. And Lot says it's a wicked thing. Who is the one most right with God? Not the guys coming demanding, it was Lot. And he's saying, let's not do a wicked thing, even though he didn't have a good alternative. Don't do a wicked thing here. Don't do a wicked thing here. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Well, you start going through Scripture, and you're like, good grief. Romans chapter 1, verse 26. Says, that is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sex relationships with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men. And as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. I read this. Turn to Matthew 19. One more here. Matthew 19. Verse 4, haven't you read the scriptures, Jesus replied, that they record that from the beginning God made them male and female. Oh, good, we just read that. But this is a lot of years later. This is in Matthew. And Jesus said, This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, female, and the two are united into one. Since they are no longer two but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. Here's what I don't get. People that want to just go ahead and say that it's okay, homosexuality, the Bible says, you don't have a clue what the Bible says. That's just the first thing I got to tell you. The Bible says it is sin. Lot said it is not to be done. Everything I read in Scripture, and we can go on and on, but there ain't nothing that says that's okay. So when you hear that in the news, when you hear it on a song, when you see it on your favorite sitcom, it is sin and it's wrong, regardless of what the media tries to paint that it's okay. It's not. The choice of religion, well, you ought to just, any religion's okay, you just ought to have one. Humanism's not okay. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through who? Through me. That's what Jesus said. There's only one way to God, and you can try every religion in the world, but the Bible says there's only one way. Where you go when you die, let me just tell you a statistic that amazes me. 22% of Christians believe in reincarnation. Sometimes you just got to shake your head. 22% of Christians believe in reincarnation. Hebrews 9:27. A person is destined to die once. Reincarnation would mean you have to die twice, and that don't happen. You're not reincarnated. You die once, and then the judgment. That's it. That's it. So when everybody, when they start talking, Christians believe that. I want to say, obviously, you didn't filter that thought through the Bible. There was no filtering went on there. Horoscopes being printed in the newspaper. Daniel 2:27-28. No fortune tellers can reveal secrets. Only God can. You just read this. Fortune telling and witchcraft. Leviticus 19. Do not practice fortune telling or witchcraft. Don't defile yourselves, since that's what you do. See, we're trying to have scriptural responses, and we don't have scripture in our hearts. We're trying to have a scriptural response and act like we're knowledgeable, but we don't have scripture, therefore we're not knowledgeable. And people are fighting battles, and they're trying to defend their way of thinking about whatever it is, and they don't have scripture in their heart. And without scripture in your heart, you're wrong. You can't know what's right. You can't be corrected when you're wrong. It's only scripture that does that. Early presidents in our country recorded in their memoirs the hours that they spent daily reading scripture. Now, if you've got that book, I want to encourage you to read this. I'm not reading it tonight, but there's a whole passage from George Washington. And as you read that, you'll find where he in this letter that he addressed, it was just one scripture after another you could find in his letter. It wasn't a sermon. It was just one scripture after another. And you can go right to the scriptures, and they're defined in the book of where you can find. Well, he didn't say, I got this from here in the Bible. He didn't say when he was writing this, I got this from here in the Bible, I got this from here. It just came out of his mouth as he was writing. Why? Because the more you get scripture in you, the more it comes out of you. And that's what happened. He just would continually quote. Patrick Henry, you heard of him? What was his big speech? Come on. Give me liberty or give me death. That's what he wrote. And our young people, some of them are studying this. So I'll just talk about this. It was given in 1775, and it had 10 different passages that you can identify. And it wasn't a preaching writing. It was a writing for a speech that he was giving. Give me liberty or give me. And as you read it, you'll find 10 specific scriptures that came out in his speech that were right out of the Word. And he didn't just sit there and quote where he found them and what they were. He just said them because he had read it so much that it just came out of him. How awesome would it be if Christian people in our country just read the Bible so much that it just comes out of you? It's just what you say. It's just what you do. But when pastors don't preach from Scripture and people don't read Scripture, there's no way to keep from being conformed to this world's way of thinking. Romans 12:2. And you know this. Don't copy. The Bible says don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then Then and then only you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That's the only way. That's the Bible. And we're getting conformed. Come on. People are getting, Christians are getting conformed to the way this world thinks. 22% thinking they believe in reincarnation. What's happened? Why is the church voting like the world? I don't make, here's why. They don't know Scripture. See, they're not filtering the media. They're not filtering what some of them say. When you hear politicians speak, you need to be able to filter. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is if you know Scripture. Good people who attend church on a regular basis voting for leaders who are against biblical mandates. That don't make any sense to me at all. I'm concerned that the media is doing such a great job of informing people that they have now conformed them to their way of thinking. And church, hear this today. If you don't read the Bible, if you don't have the Bible as a part of your daily life, if you're not getting it in you, I'm here to tell you, you're not, your filter's messed up. Your filter's messed up. And so if we're going to filter the media, and I love the catchiness of this title, but the way you filter is the Word of God. And if you don't know the Word of God, it'll mess you up and you'll disagree with things the pastor says. You'll disagree with things leaders say. You'll disagree with people in your house that are reading the Word. See, it'll cause problems in marriage when one's reading the Word and one's not, because one person's filtering different than the other one is. Well, I don't want to go watch that movie. Oh, come on, yo, deadbeat. You come with me and let's... Miss Bible Thumper. Praise God for Bible Thumpers. They're the ones filtering correctly. And if you're making fun of them, maybe you need to learn a little more Scripture so you can filter correctly. I was talking to somebody this week, and I won't call out names for the significance of protection. But it was mentioned in a text something about Bambi. And maybe I ought to just watch Bambi. Now, they were being funny because they know my response to that. Bambi was released in the 1950s. It is the first movie ever released to humanize animals. See, here's the deal. Pastors should have been preaching about this in the 1950s. And here's what they should have said. Now, this movie is fun and it's entertaining, and it'll rip your heart out at certain points. And it's got everything every movie needs. But I want to make sure you know something. God created plants with a body. He created animals with a body and a mind, or a soul, body and mind. And he created man in the image of God as a three-part being, body, soul, spirit. Body, mind, spirit. That's how he created man. And although Bambi is a really cute movie, we need to know animals don't have a spirit, and they're not close to being on the same level as far as the creation process goes as man. They're not even close. They're not a close second. But see, pastors didn't address this, and now we have countless movies and thinkers and even organizations out there that believe animals are more important than man. You see it all the time in movies or in clips or on Facebook. Man is the bad guy and animal is the good guy. You see it all the time. Animals should be protected against that dirty old man. What are you talking about? Animals protect, animals having more rights than men? There's a society Melanie was telling me about that think that man ought to extinct themselves so the world could right itself. What's it called? You remember?
The voluntary human extinction club or something.
The voluntary human extinction club. Somebody watched Bambi in that club a lot. Dirty old man. I'm not saying don't ever watch Bambi. I'm just saying you better know the biblical filter you better put on that. Or you'll put animals in a place that they were never intended to be. And I'm just saying. Same thing with Robin Hood. See, media has a way and has a message in it. And if you're not careful, it'll shape your whole society. Do you know how much the hunting industry went down the year that Bambi came out? Why? Because, oh, Daddy, don't go hunting. Okay, baby, I won't. I watched it with you, and I don't want to. Somebody didn't get any deer meat that year. Bad deal. But Robin Hood. See, no pastor taught against it. The movie was fun. It was entertaining. But it teaches a concept that goes way against the Bible. That's what it does. Prosperity doesn't work when you steal from the rich and give to the poor. It don't work. That's what communism is. Communism has proved that. So let me just tell you, we don't need to be voting in socialism. It don't work. But let me just tell you, there's a lot of people in the United States of America that have a Robin Hood mentality. That's why we're voting for socialist mindsets. But it's totally against the Word of God. Well, how do you know that? Read Matthew 25. Read it, read it, read it, read it, read it, and read it again. You can't read that and then watch Robin Hood and think that you're filtering wrong if you're thinking like Robin Hood teaches. You're thinking wrong. When pastors and God's people don't filter media, we end up with the wrong outcome. We wonder why our country's where it's at today. Know this, it's going to go that much quicker if the church don't start getting the scripture back into people's minds and hearts so that we can filter what's going on in our country correctly. The church has to lead the way if we're going to get the society to think biblical.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.